You're listening to Grow Great, the podcast, episode 316, Building Your Ideal Team. Grow Great, it's about your leadership. Business owners, CEOs, and executives who are unashamed of being called operators. Brief, concise insights and perspectives to help you avoid and eliminate blind spots in your daily leadership. The website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. NFL pundits claim that this year's Dallas Cowboys roster is Super Bowl quality. Okay, time will tell. They have to play the games. They're certainly throwing some big dollars around. In fact, just this week, Ezekiel Elliott guaranteed $50 million of a $90 million contract. Time will tell. Time will tell if this roster can achieve everything that people expect. I can't remember the last time I passed an entire week without talking with a business owner or a CEO about constructing a better team. The people problem, it persists. Recruiting, training, retaining people who can help take the enterprise to new heights. It's always been a challenge. But too often we make it harder than it needs to be. Mostly because we neglect to give it the attention it deserves. It was probably 25 to 30 years ago, I went to hear Tom Peters here in town. He used to come to DFW area every few years, and I would go see him every time he came. I've always found him thought-provoking, and my fondness of him likely stems from being a young man when the first book that made him so famous was published in 1982, In Search of Excellence. He resonated with me. Well, it was during this presentation, which really wasn't a speech as much as a presentation because people were seated in around round tables, and Tom would walk amongst us, and he would talk with this comprehensive slide deck serving to illustrate his points. But in this session, he talked at one point about how much effort the NFL puts into assembling a team. General managers have teams of scouts and other people who are dedicated to studying film of college players. Countless man hours are spent talking to previous coaches, and a lot of effort. Makes sense because, well, that's their business. It's a team sport. Requires that you build the strongest team possible so you can compete. And Tom made the analogy that our businesses are not much different. People make the difference. And I instantly thought, well, the first thing I thought is, of course, he's right. People do absolutely make the difference. But I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I agree, but NFL teams have game film to watch. They've got previous coaches that they can interview about the player. They have a lot more data to consider than I ever had with prospective hires. But I didn't want to be completely dismissive of his analogy because I knew I could give it greater effort, and I knew there had to be some strategies that I could deploy so that I could act with greater efficiency. I needed to be more intentional about it all. And since that time, over the years, I have found almost every CEO or business owner suffers the exact same challenge. And I know why. We too often hire out of desperation. We have a pressing need, so we seek to fill it. That's the extent of the strategy, immediate need or desperation. I started to think about being more proactive because there were times early in my career where I had done that instinctively. Somewhere along the way, I couldn't quite figure out where something happened. And it's not because I got smarter, I got stupider. I started chasing my tail. By the time I got to the mid-80s, I was figuring out, okay, I got to stop chasing my tail so much. Now, firefighting, okay, that's part of the job. And frankly, I rather enjoyed that part of it. Some people don't. What I hated was feeling forced to act out of desperation. And so I intentionally began to think more strategic, to give greater effort to being prepared, to think ahead. What would you do if the key employee that you most rely on suddenly resigned? What would you do? I often ask leaders this question, and most don't have any answer other than, well, I hope that doesn't happen, but I'll press them. But what if it does? What if it does happen? Well, panic. That's what's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that we are all prepared for such events, but we would do well to think about it more. We would do well to pre-think it and to prepare to develop a plan. So, how would you build your ideal team? Well, let's start by defining ideal. I'm not talking about, you may be, but this is my definition, I'm not talking about a perfect team. I'm talking about a team that would be ideally suited to achieve what you want. I'm talking about a team of people capable and willing to help you grow your enterprise. Step one, shore up the weaknesses that kill you. Now, you likely have got some chronic weak spots. And if you're like most of us, these areas have, well, they've likely been problematic for too long. Figure out why. Don't accept shallow answers. Don't accept assumptions. Dig deep, find evidence. Really discover, maybe for the first time ever, why is this area, why is this an ongoing problem for us? And don't be fast to blame external forces. Look in the mirror. You need to figure out what you and your company may be doing poorly to contribute to this. Training, compensation, culture. You need to test all of these things to find out why you are consistently weak in this area. Soar with your strengths. I believe in it. I think it is a great way to roll. But I wonder, can you turn your weakness into a strength? What if you could? And I will wager that this area of weakness for you may also be an area of weakness for your competitors. If you can turn this around, it solves a major problem for you while at the same time providing you a competitive advantage in the market. Win-win. By starting with your weakness and this weakest area, you can stop the bleeding in multiple areas. Inefficiency in getting the work done, and lower performing culture. And this is why I first focus on this area, even though my natural tendency is to lean into areas of strength and make them even stronger, because I happen to believe if you take somebody who's operating at a really high level and you get a very incremental improvement in their performance, you move the needle. You could get a 25, 50% improvement in somebody that's a dog and not performing very well at all, and it's not even going to make a blip on the radar. When it comes to a team and a team being constructed, the weak areas, they have a devastating impact. You've got to think about it like triage. You know, doctors in the ER, they examine patients according to how dire their circumstance. So a person comes in with a severe head wound. Well, okay, that's going to trump the fellow in the next room who's got a broken arm. A heart attack, that's going to trump a badly sprained ankle. And so it needs to be the same way in your company. Go where the need is greatest to build your ideal team. Now, let me give you a note here. This likely is going to mean that you need to eliminate people who should have been removed probably a long time ago. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up for living with these people. Be fair. Be legal. Get busy doing what you have to do to correct poor performance. That may include eventually getting rid of people who are incapable or unwilling to help your company win. Step two, make your strength even stronger. Now, this begins with not taking it for granted. You know, if you go back to that question about the sudden resignation of a key employee, it's not always the result of taking them for granted, but it often is. Stop it. Embrace gratitude. Do not assume that making your strength stronger necessarily involves adding people. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It most certainly involves you not taking it for granted. Not assuming that it's always going to be this way. So protect your strength. Keep investing in your strength. Pay attention to your strength and add to it if you want. But whatever you do, grow it even stronger. Step number three, create a high-performing culture. Nothing will attract talent more and keep it longer. Don't tolerate mediocrity, ever. The name of the game is victory. You're in the business to win. You're in the business to win in the market. You're in the business to win in the mind and the wallet of the customer. Everybody is putting in the hours. I get it. Not everybody's working hard, but everybody's putting in the time. You know, an NFL game consists of four 15-minute quarters, 60 minutes. Both teams are going to invest the same 60 minutes into a game, or more if it goes into overtime. And at the end of the game, one locker room celebrates. The other, they bemoan the loss. Well, which locker room you want to be in? As the CEO or the owner, it's your job to establish the expectation, the focus, and the effort required to create a winning locker room. Top performers want to play with other top performers. It's just always been, it will always be. And it transcends roles. High-achieving salespeople, they want to interact with and associate with high-performing accounting people. So don't be narrow-minded in thinking that, well, there are only some areas of my business that really absolutely need A players. No, you need A players across the board. Work very hard to put as many A players into every role within your organization. Birds of a feather and all that. It matters. Talent attracts talent. You cannot have a high-performing organization if there's a place for everybody in your company. The culture has got to be selective if you're going to have a top-notch culture. You have to be intolerant of mediocrity. Poor efforts, poor habits, poor performance, they're culture killers. You cannot accept them. And here's the key. This is a big key. You got to work on all three of these things simultaneously, all the time. You're never done. The work is never finished. Constant, ongoing attention is required. So make up your mind. Commit to it. And if you do, I can promise you, you will reap the rewards. Let me leave you with what Jack Welch taught the world. At least he was the first to articulate it in a way that made sense to me. Welch was always in the process of dumping the bottom of his rosters. I mean, he was always searching for ways to improve the roster. What that meant was making room for good people, no matter what. And if somebody's got to go, well, you likely have got plenty of candidates who should be moved along to make room for better people. That strategy continues to improve the roster, and it will help you achieve your ideal team. Grow great. It's about your leadership. And today's show has been brought to you by The Peer Advantage. The Peer Advantage is a virtual online group of small to medium-sized business owners who come together to leverage their power together in a mastermind group, if you please, by sharing insights, viewpoints, and experiences. I would invite you to go read about it. More importantly, I would invite you to apply. It strictly is by application. All this will do is garner a phone call between us so that you can decide if this is right for you and I can decide if this is right for me. ThePeerAdvantage.com. ThePeerAdvantage.com. And you can find out all about this virtual online group. Well, that's it for me. Be well, do good, grow great. The website for the podcast is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.